Following recording is copyright 2012 Catholic Diocese of Little Rock. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
On October 11th, we entered the great year of faith called for by Pope Benedict XVI to mark the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Second Vatican Council, the greatest faith event of the 20th century. The three goals of the Year of Faith are to open our hearts to get to know Jesus better, to open our minds to understand his teaching in the light of Vatican II, and to engage our wills to bring our faith to bear on the issues of today. We all share this call to holiness, to belief, and to service by virtue of our baptism and the other sacraments, among which is the sacrament of holy orders, by means of which the Church ordains men to serve God in public ministry. You candidates for the diaconate, you who I will ordain today, and you who I'll ordain, God willing, in 8 days, 7 days, Saturday, next week, you did not complete 4 years and 3 months of formation merely because you love the church and are worried about our shortage of priests. You are here because God called you, and because you have heard that call personally in the intimacy of your own heart and in consultation with your wife, without whose support it would not be advisable to ordain you. And so I am very grateful to them. The gospel you just heard comes from Jesus' farewell discourse in John's gospel. Jesus prays for the disciples who, starting on Pentecost, will be empowered to go forth and carry forward his great work of salvation. Here we see that a disciple is a person to whom an important task has been entrusted. As the Father sent Jesus, so now Jesus sends his disciples into the world. And here the world has the nuance of godless society, a distortion that we see today in secular humanism, willing to condone almost any evil you can imagine. Jesus sends his disciples out into the world to help the world return to God. Their task is to win the world for Jesus. And for this reason, he prays to his Heavenly Father for three things that his disciples need. And all of them are things we still very much need today. First, Jesus prays that his disciples be in the world, but not of the world. Notice he did not pray that his disciples be taken out of the world, nor did he offer them any way to escape the troubles of life. What he offers is a life that faces troubles and overcomes them. So while a deacon should not be of the world, it is in the world that our faith must be lived. And even in the most godless parts of our society, the good news of Jesus Christ must and will eventually prevail. Second, Jesus asks his Father to protect his disciples from the evil one. There is in our world a force of evil that actively opposes the power of God. And one way or another, we are under attack every day. Many times we fall because we trust too much on our own strength to face it. And we forget to seek the help of God. And we forget to remember to trust in his power and in his protection. And third, Jesus prays that his disciples be consecrated by truth. The original word, meaning of the word that we translate consecrate or sanctified in some translations, has the meaning of made different or separate. And this applies to our deacons to be, because ordination sets you apart for a special task. We see this in the Bible. When God had Moses ordain the sons of Aaron as priests, that set them apart for a special role. God chooses persons and sets them apart for a special service, and then he equips that person with the qualities that he will need to fulfill that service. And this is something that you deacons and deacons-to-be will soon experience. To serve God fully and faithfully, you must have God's goodness and God's wisdom inside of you, which he will give you if you open your heart to receive it. You must have your heart and mind and character fully conformed to God, which he will help you do if you just let him. So take courage. God does not expect you to carry out the great task he is entrusting to you on your own strength alone, but rather by his grace, he will give you all you need to fulfill it faithfully and will continue to give you that strength so long as you continue to place your life fully in his hands. Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was martyred in San Salvador in 1980, did just that. He drew on God's strength to proclaim God's truth in the darkest days of oppression by the most godless sectors of his society. Confident that Jesus' good news of hope and salvation will always prevail. Here is what he has to say to us today. And this is a prayer that Archbishop Romero wrote. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that can be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that will one day grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need future development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our own capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there's a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not the master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are the prophets of a future not our own. Amen.